Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com NBA Strategy Show presented by Prize Picks. I'm Dave Lockhart at Lafay_D on Twitter, joined by Adam Scher at ShipMyMoneyDFS, breaking down a little seven-game NBA action today. How lucky have we gotten lately, man?
Yeah, I love it. It's really fun. I mean, I still haven't been winning, but it's still more fun to play, more fun to talk about.
I saw this tweet today that was like, I showed it to you guys in the chat. It's like, modest clothing, yet every guy looks. Is there something attractive to being classy that society has lost, right? And it's a video of this girl walking down the street in, granted, she's wearing like high heels, but a dress that's not super revealing, even though it's, I wouldn't say it's modest. And everybody's looking. And he's trying to say this is like, you know, it's, you could go on my Twitter and look. I just found it ridiculous.
I saw it. I know what you're talking about.
Found it ridiculous. It's like the hottest woman on the earth.
Right. Okay. She's like insanely attractive, but also there's clearly somebody walking behind her filming her
with a camera.
And she's wearing a ridiculous outfit. Of course, people are looking at her. It's not because it's like classy. She's wearing, in addition to being incredibly attractive, she's wearing a massive like hat that you would wear to the Kentucky Derby. Yeah. And she's wearing
stilettos.
One, like you said, it's like a form fitting dress. So it's not like it's actually a modest dress. And two, like she's walking down the street wearing something that nobody else is wearing. Like, of course people are looking at her.
Yeah, she's not wearing a burqa.
Right. Like, right. She's just wearing it. Like, it doesn't show her tits, but like it's form fitting. Like it's.
Dude, she's hot as hell. Of course you're going to look. Like, it has nothing to do.
But like, even if she wasn't hot as hell, if somebody walks by you wearing like a Kentucky Derby hat and a dress from like 1842, you're still going to look at them and with somebody filming them. You're going to look and be like, what, who was that?
I agree. I find people, social media has gotten so out of control though. Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
To the point, like, but in all seriousness, if you took that hat off of her, let's say it wasn't as crazy, people are still going to stare because she's a 10.
Yeah.
If you put her in a modest outfit, there's still, but if you put a 3 in a modest outfit, people aren't going to stare just because she's in a modest outfit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but also people weren't like staring. They were doing
They were just like, oh, that's not the same thing you or I would do. You're walking down the street. Oh.
Yeah, but also if you take a 3 and you dress them up like they're Amish and you walk them past me in New York City, I'm still going to do a double take.
Well, yes, of course. Of course. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yes, exactly. I just meant if you put them in something that was, you know, that were like, you know, sweatpants and a sweatshirt or something.
Sure.
I'm not objectifying here. What I'm saying is that like everyone objectifies everybody. And it's not the fact, you're right. She was kind of wearing ridiculous clothes. It was nice, but it was unlike anything else that anyone was wearing.
Right. Exactly. It's like, I mean, yeah, it's nothing to do with the clothes. It's like if you wear a suit to a dive bar, people are going to do a double take because they don't know why you're wearing a suit.
Right. Right. You're like, man, this guy's down on his luck.
Right.
Like the suit with the rips in the legs or something. Right. Head down. Anyway, happy to have you guys with us. Hump day, baby. It doesn't really, there's no hump day for me anymore. Every day just blends. What's that?
I said, because you're married.
Like, yeah, everything blends, you know? Plus I do a show. I've been doing shows on Sundays forever. Doesn't really make a difference. Our schedules are weird.
Oh, yeah. Like, I typically don't know what day of the week it is.
The best type of time of my day, no matter what the time or what day it is like afternoons during the weekdays, because I can get stuff done.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if I didn't have to look at the schedule to see who I was doing a show with in the morning, I would have no idea what day anything was.
Yeah. Hannah Banana said she would have looked good in sweatpants too. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Like, she would have looked good in anything.
Oh yeah.
All right. No, I didn't miss it. Well, because he said, because I'm married.
Yeah.
No. Well, it made me think about, like, with a kid, you know, on the weekends, it's a job too. But anyway, yeah. Hey, hit that thumbs up, guys. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment down below. We try and read it and respond to all of them. Not to mention, if you're listening in podcast form, we know you're out there. Leave a rating or review. All that good stuff helps us greatly. We appreciate you. Subscribe to the pod. Tell your friends. Tell your friends. And let's get started. So, how you feeling this morning? You all right? You doing well?
Yeah, I have coffee. I'm good.
Yeah, you're back home? You got some coffee?
Yeah, back home. Have coffee. Everything's good.
We're in good shape.
You'll appreciate this. Just absolutely. This is why I never put in, like, I'm always hesitant to put in, like, service, like, maintenance requests. So for the last, like, week, I've been pretty sure that my heat/air isn't working. My apartment just is, like, permanently stuck at, you know, like, 71, 72, no matter what I set it to. And so I'm like, all right, this is weird. And then, like, I noticed I had left, like, a window kind of cracked. I was like, oh, maybe that's, like, messing it up. So I closed that. Doesn't seem to make a difference. Yesterday, I look at it, still the same thing. I realized that the thermostat's turned off. It took me a week. So I've just been, like, cold for a week because I didn't realize I'd accidentally turned off my thermostat.
The best is you going, like, for a week I had a feeling it wasn't working because I was really cold. What did you, like, turn the thermostat off when you went somewhere, or did it just turn off?
I probably just hit the button by accident because, like, it's just on the front. It's not like I have to go in the settings or anything. There's just, like, an on-off button on the front. So I probably just, like, hit that by accident and didn't notice it. And, yesterday I looked at it. I was like, man, it's still clearly not working. Let me just make sure that, like, there's nothing in the settings that I messed with before I tell somebody that it's not working. And then I was just like, wait, the on-off button's not lit up. And so I press that, and it immediately comes on.
All right. So good thing you didn't call. Oh, my God. That would have been if you called someone and they're like, hey, dummy.
It would have been 100 times worse than my dishwasher wasn't working. And so I put in a maintenance request, and they just came in, walked in my room, flipped the circuit, and it worked. But, like, in my defense, like, I hadn't lived here long. I didn't even remember where the circuit breaker was. But, like, that was still just like, wow, I'm an idiot. This would have topped that by about a million.
What do you keep your heat on?
During the day, like, 73.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Why?
You have your heat on 73 in the winter?
Something like that.
Wow.
Why?
What's your electric bill in that apartment each month?
I don't know.
73 is wild, dude.
What, high?
Yeah, that's like top 1% of That's really high. Like, I have mine set at 68 regularly. Comfortable.
That's what I sleep at.
73, that's something else, man. There are people out there, like, I know I used to have friends with parents where if you touched that and it was above, like, 68, they'd actually kill you.
Yeah, no, I sleep at 68. I keep it at, like, 73-ish during the day.
Yeah. You need to move around more, man. You won't be cold anymore.
So for some reason, my office is colder too. I think it's probably because I always have, like, the shades down, because, like, but there's probably, like, a 5-degree difference between, like, my living room and my office.
What do you keep the air at in the summer?
Like 67, 68.
Okay. All right. I got you. Yeah. I mean, even that, yeah, you're running your electric bill. I want to see your electric bill after the winter's over, dude. It's got,
I mean, I was actually looking at it the other day. I was looking at it the other day. It wasn't anything crazy. I mean,
really?
I guess I don't know what crazy is, like, but it wasn't, like, in terms of, like, just raw amounts of money, it wasn't anything crazy.
You didn't go, oh my God, is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, there's a chance that it's 3 times higher than, like, it should be, but.
Right. But yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's get into some basketball here. We got Memphis and Miami, Grizzlies 4-point dogs on the road, 219 total. Just out of the gate, still no John Morant. He's in, like, what, Florida for counseling or something right now?
Yep.
Steven Adams is still out of this one. So just looking at the price points, Desmond Bain's salary has actually come down. The thing, though, about this matchup isn't to say that you can't get some good performances. Like Jaren Jackson is sub 8K. There are some prices that I think are exploitable at low ownership, but most of that low ownership is the result of, hey, you're facing a Miami team that plays at, you know, a bottom three pace in the league. They have the sixth best defense. It's just not on paper a very good matchup that's going to bolster ownership across any of these guys.
Yeah, that, and you've also had pricing come up. So that combined with the difficult matchup, you're just not going to get much ownership coming into this team. Desmond Bain's salary dropped a bit down to 8K. You still get a very high ceiling from him. Increased usage without Morant, increased playmaking opportunities as the backup point guard when Tyus Jones isn't on the floor. So still a decent price tag there, pulling 10% ownership. Jackson's salary dropped a bit to 7,800. You know the type of upside you get from him. This game is in Miami, so you know maybe doesn't get eight blocks, but still plenty of upside there. Dylan Brooks' salary came up a bit. He's actually played well the last couple of games at low ownership. It's been nice to be over the field on him, but it's still the same player. He's going to shoot a good amount for his price tag, but he's an inefficient shooter, so pretty low floor there. Tyus Jones got a little bit less expensive as well. He's giving you typically 33, 34 minutes in competitive games, a little over a fantasy point per minute. Any of these guys are fine in tournaments, but none of them stand out as guys that you're really building around.
Right, exactly. And on the Miami side, when you're looking at this team,
hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They are four-point favorites, but this game, what's the total in this game? 219, so low total. Not to say that that's the be-all, end-all in a spot like this. You're still looking at Miami today. Kyle Lowry, questionable, by the way. But, I mean, early on, we have ownership going to Kevin Love. Tyler Hero, sub 7K. In this spot, that looks kind of appealing. I don't have a problem with Hero at 6,900 here. Butler 13%, and then you have Bam at 9%. Outside of that, there isn't a single player getting 1% ownership today for Miami.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty much how it should be. The Kevin Love ownership is seems kind of high to me. He projects well from a point per dollar standpoint, but we continue to see him not play in the fourth quarter. And it just always scares me going to somebody that you're expecting to play like 20 minutes and they're popular, because realistically there's only so much you can do in 20 minutes. Like, let's say he gets a fantasy point and a half per minute. You're still talking about like 30 fantasy points, which is clearly good at 4K and you're happy you have it, but it's not some score that like you absolutely have to win. And the downside, or the, I guess the upside, if you don't play that guy, is that he plays 20 minutes, scores 20 fantasy points, and you're just, you know, is a useless play. So he's a good point per dollar projection, but I am a little hesitant just because of his playing time. That's not to say that he'll never play fourth quarter minutes again. You know, he certainly could. And that's the risk, I guess, if you don't have Kevin Love, is if this happens to be the game he plays 24 or 25 minutes, you're probably in trouble. But based on the rotations we've seen from Miami recently, it's not – I don't love the ownership coming into Kevin Love, no pun intended, but Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, those guys all look fine. Gabe Vincent's been playing a decent amount. He's 3,800, not getting any ownership. That's sort of interesting, but still not a very good point per minute guy, especially when he has to share the floor with all three of Butler, Bam, and Hero.
All right, so let's talk about another game with a low total, 220, Philly, Cleveland. Cavs on the second of a back-to-back. We'll see what happens here. Jared Allen's been out for a couple games with an illness. Donovan Mitchell was, you know, yes, he wasn't even on the injury report until yesterday afternoon, and then he got ruled out. So those are two things that we're going to have to pay really close attention to, because, you know, it's definitely possible that you could be looking at a situation where somebody like Caris LeVert plays, you know, close to 30 minutes and then you're getting, or gets additional run. And then Lamar Stevens gets another start. So we'll keep an eye out for that. That's why you got Live Before Lock and Deeper Dive tonight. We're just setting the ground for you, you know, laying the foundation. But for Philly against this Cleveland team, as it stands right now, how does someone like Joel Embiid get prioritized for you on this slate?
Yeah, it's Embiid. It's like, you're obviously always going to be happy to get there. He's an expensive center, which always keeps the ownership in check, but more than happy to get to him. Not a good matchup against Cleveland, but depending on, do we have a status on Jared Allen yet?
No, he's okay. Still second of a back-to-back, so I'm not sure we're going to have much, you know.
Yeah, I just didn't know if I couldn't remember what his injury was. I didn't know if he'd just been ruled out for multiple games.
Yeah, it was it's an illness.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so if Allen's in, the matchup gets worse. It's not a great matchup either way, but certainly worse if Allen is in. But either way,
it's his eye. It's his eye.
Okay, yeah, but nothing on if he's going to play today. So either way, you know, not a great matchup. Worse if Allen's in, but still happy to play Embiid. Like, he's clearly a dominant offensive player and has a very high ceiling.
Okay.
You know, not a great match.
Jose said there's no sound. Unmute it. Unmute it. Yeah. Yeah, with Cleveland, though, it's weird because, like you said, if Allen plays, then that changes things. If Mitchell's out, then you've got Darius Garland. We've seen plenty of instances with Donovan Mitchell out in the past. You know, yesterday they got that road win against Charlotte. Garland played, 28 minutes? And by the way, this was because the game was out of hand. Mobley didn't come back. Mobley came back, or the bench emptied with the fully emptied. Yeah, wow, okay. I mean, most of the starters didn't even play significant minutes at all in the fourth or at all altogether. So, like, these guys were on pace to play huge minutes again if this game was close.
Yeah, for sure. And you should get Donovan Mitchell back today, I think. If he's back, that cuts into Darius Garland, cuts into Mobley a little bit, makes Caris LeVert not as appealing. So that status matters. Jared Allen's status matters. But still, a lot of playing time here. Darius Garland at 7,600 is going to look good even with Mitchell. He just looks even better if Mitchell's out. Mobley looks fine at 8,100. He'll look better if Allen is out. Allen at 6,400 would look good if he's in.
Okay. What if they're all in?
Garland still looks good. Allen still looks good. Mobley and Mitchell don't look as good as Garland and Allen because of pricing, but they're certainly still playable.
Okay. Would you see any priorities from this game? If Mitchell and Allen are in?
Not in the sense that, like, you're playing them in, like, 60% of your lineups or anything, but $7,600 Garland and $6,400 Allen would both look really good.
All right, looking at Sacramento going up against the Bulls, this should be a fun – anytime the Kings are involved in a game, we're going to spend some time on it. 237 total. Sabonis has been on another level lately. This guy is just torching opponents. Since the start of March, 21 – rebound chances per game, 14 potential assists, 90 touches, which is significantly higher than his own point guard, De'Aaron Fox, 25% usage, 36% assist rate, and 21% rebound rate across the board. The numbers on Domantas Sabonis right now are insane. And I know he's expensive, so going to be tough to get there. But I did want to throw that out there because he's at 4% ownership right now. And I know we haven't really dug into, like, roster construction and everything, but three double-doubles in his last four, just across the board, you're getting such huge production from him. And if he's not getting in any foul trouble, 35 to 37 minutes in competitive games. Do you think there's some value here at 4% projected ownership right now?
Yeah, I do. Kind of surprised he's not getting more. I mean, I get he's center only on DraftKings, but...
And he's not that expensive, by the way.
Yeah, 10-1, certainly a reasonable price tag. He's giving you around 35 minutes. He's a monster offensively. It's not like it's a bad matchup here against Chicago either. I am surprised he's not getting a little bit more ownership.
Yeah, me too. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is at 6%, 8,900. By the way, Sabonis does have some positive leverage, but only 6% optimal score. This team has been healthy for a while now, so it's hard to find any real considerable value. Do you want to get to any Malik Monk? Do you want to get to De'Aaron Fox at his price point? Are there any guys that might stand out to you for tournaments?
I think Fox still looks pretty interesting. You're getting a bunch of playing time from him as well. Only 8,900, relatively cheap price tag. Not somebody that stands out as like glaringly underpriced, but you do get a very nice ceiling there. He's kind of similar to like Donovan Mitchell, where he's at a price point that isn't like an obvious value, but there is still plenty of upside at low ownership. It's just going to be a spot where I like grabbing him in tournaments and, you know, hoping for a big game. As far as the remaining guys, the rotation's been different for the Kings. I'm not sure entirely what to make of it, but we've seen less playing time from Keegan Murray. We've seen Kessler Edwards move into the rotation. He played like 26 minutes two games ago, closed both halves. Last game, he played 18 minutes. Kevin Huerter didn't play a lot two games ago. He got back to 28 minutes last game. Harrison Barnes only played 30 minutes last game. So those wing minutes have become even more volatile with Kessler Edwards being thrown into the rotation, but they are cheap. You know, if Keegan Murray has that game that he plays 32 minutes, there is upside there. Same goes for Monk at 4,500, you know, Huerter at 5,400, Barnes at 48. There is upside if everything breaks your way here. It's just that you can't even be confident in the playing time here. It's, you know, you need to get the minutes and then them also to play well.
Right. It's actually impressive how bad Keegan Murray's been lately.
Yeah, he's been kind of up and down all year, but we're back to the down part.
Yeah, and the down minutes too. Just a huge downturn in minutes, like you pointed out.
Yeah. Which the one nice thing, you know, like I said, you have to get both pieces, them playing big minutes and them playing well. There is probably some correlation there. Like if Keegan Murray comes out and is playing well, he's likely to play 28 plus minutes. Right. Same for Huerter, you know, Barnes, like Monk, any of these guys are likely to play more minutes if they're playing well.
Right. Yeah. Good point. You know, what's interesting to me is the other side of this game, because it's a great matchup for Chicago. Fast paced game, interesting spot. Sacramento team that just makes for beautiful fantasy conditions because they're great offensively, terrible defensively, 116 defensive rating on the season. Looking at like LaVine and DeRozan and Vooch, I know sometimes it's just like flip a coin style when they're all this expensive, or you just go with the positional scarcity. If center's real deep, maybe you get away from Vooch, you get a little more LaVine or DeRozan. But these guys are all around 10-11% today. There's some nice ceilings for these big three for Chicago at not crazy ownership.
Yeah, I like all three of them. LaVine and Vooch are the ones I think I want to get to first, just because we have seen DeRozan take a step back recently, both in terms of his production and his opportunities. They've played 9 games together over the last month. In those games, LaVine has a 31.2% usage rate in 36.5 minutes per game. DeRozan only has a 27.5% usage rate, so you've seen LaVine take a little bit of his usage. Vooch in those games.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I spelled his name wrong, so that's not going to help. Vooch in those games, 1.12 DraftKings points per minute, 22% usage, obviously rebounds at a high rate as well. So I like all three guys. You know, the $8,300 salary on DeRozan is perfectly fine as well, but LaVine looks like the best to me, followed by Vooch, followed by DeRozan.
Okay. What about some of the cheaper options, like an Alex Caruso type?
Yeah, I mean, 3,400 for Caruso, I don't have any issues there. The risk is, you know, if he doesn't play well and he only plays 22 minutes or something, you're probably in trouble. But if you get that 28-minute game from Caruso, it's just too cheap of a price tag. Not a great point-per-minute guy, but it's not like he's awful. And he's in a very appealing matchup against the Kings. So 3,400 for him, 15% ownership, no real issue there. If you wanted to pivot and hope that maybe Coby White steals those minutes at, like, one half the ownership, that's fine. But Caruso's the one that you should probably be getting to first.
Okay. So you'd say Vooch and LaVine and then DeRozan among the big three, though.
It's LaVine. Yeah, LaVine, Vooch, DeRozan for me. Like, okay. All are good, but that's the order I'd prioritize them.
Let's keep it moving. We got three down, four to go. By the way, shout out to our sponsor, Prize Picks, and I'll get to that super chat in just a second, Avi. If Prize Picks is available in your state, and it's available in a lot of them, been seeing a lot of Prize Picks commercials lately, too. They're blowing up. It's available in your state, and you like betting, you also like DFS, and you like free stuff, well, then Prize Picks is 100% for you. What do I mean? I'll tell you. Well, first off, you get a $100 first match deposit bonus when you use the link in the description or the one that Jacob can throw in the chat. Okay? $100. So you put $100 in, your account balance is going to say $200. Boom, I'm in. Even if you only have $10, it's 100%. On whatever you deposit, up to $100. That's huge. But you're getting a free month of Stochastic Plus Platinum. That is literally everything on our site. Now, think about this for a second. Think about if you asked yourself, when would be the best time to take a advantage of a free month? Like maybe you've been sitting on the idea for a bit now, and you're like, when would be the best time to do it? Well, I can tell you this much. March Madness, NBA in full swing, NHL, MMA, PGA's back. I think we got NASCAR going, and MLB season starts later this month. That's only like that. Those are only the sports I can think of the top of my head, because you're not just getting NBA. It's $120 value. You're getting literally every single tool for every sport that we have on the site just by using the link that we have down there, signing up at Prize Picks, winning some money over there. Use Josh's picks. He's been on a heater. At least he was last time I looked. Use his picks. Use our player projections. Use all of our projected stats and prop betting tools to help you, but also use everything else for DFS, whether you're on DraftKings, FanDuel, wherever it is. You're talking like the overlap in March for DFS and for betting, you can't beat it. And on Prize Picks, they have all of those sports. You're just building lineups with overs and unders. That's it. There's no juice. It's just the over or the under. We're spoon feeding you the best plays anyway. Putting them in a lineup, if you hit all five, you 10x. You only hit four, unlike a traditional book, you're still 2xing. You're making money back if you hit three. And if you're a crazy person and you want to go with the six pick flex play, you're 25xing if you hit all of them. So awesome format over there. A million different sports. You can blend them all together. And a free month of Stochastic Plus Platinum. $120 value. Everything on the site, including our premium Discord, including the lineup generator, and you're in business. The hope is that you stick around and we become family around this way. So check it out. Link in the description and in chat. Prize Picks, if it's in your state, legit no-brainer here, especially as we enter the later stages of March. All right, let's talk about next game up on the slate. We got Boston and Minnesota. So Boston traveling to Minnesota. First off, looking at this Boston team today with the high-priced options, you have Jason Tatum coming in at, $11,000, Jaylen Brown, $9,100, and then it essentially just falls off a cliff after that. Everyone else is in the 5K range. Is there some value that we can get to in the Derek Whites and Marcus Smarts, maybe even some Al Horford today? Like, is this 5K range livable?
Yeah, it's playable. It's kind of nice because none of these guys are getting a lot of ownership, and any of them are capable of just giving you a big game. On average, you're not expecting it from anybody, but when you get a $5,400 Derek White or a $5,500 Horford or a $5,400 Smart, like if this game's competitive, you expect the minutes to be there for all of these guys, and they're all good enough that, you know, they can have a big game against Minnesota. You can add Malcolm Brogdon to that as well. It's sub 1% ownership at 5,800, you know, with the potential to play 28 minutes. These guys clearly are going to be volatile because they are the third option at best behind Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But the minutes are there. They're good enough fantasy producers, and they're just cheap. So they do just kind of stand out to me here as really appealing in the sense that their salary is skewed more towards their floor than their ceiling, I guess, is the way I think about it. Like, they don't stand out as glaringly good values from a median standpoint, but they're just a little bit underpriced, where it's a lot easier, I think, for them to have a big game at their price than to truly disappoint. So they do look good. Derek White's pulling 15% ownership. I don't mind that. I don't necessarily think he should be 1.5 times as popular as Smart, or, you know, 3 times as popular as Horford, or 15 times as popular as Brogdon. But that group as a whole, it's likely that you get at least one good play out of that group of guys.
Didn't anticipate Josh being in chat rattling off Taylor Swift lyrics today, but
yeah, that was a good that was one of the better things Josh just said in chat.
Not the Bengals Bills.
That was one of the worst things Josh just said in chat.
if you're looking at Jason Tatum today, among the, like, because Luke is out, Anthony Davis, we'll get to that one next. Anthony Davis out in the second of a back to back. No LeBron, maybe no Kyrie Irving. It really does thin out among the top. Like, we could be left with just your 10K plus guys on DraftKings being Sabonis, Curry, Tatum, and Embiid. That could be it. I know it's early in the morning, but just kind of cursory look at this. Where would Tatum fit in for you among those guys? And I know it's kind of a wide gap from 10K up to 11.4, but if you had to choose between those four.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's nice about Tatum, in addition to the 6% ownership, is that he's the only forward of that group. Like, you know that there's going to be more opportunity cost at center, and so that's going to pull Embiid back a little bit. You know that there's always there's never a shortage of guards that you can play. Granted, you do have Kyrie, assuming he plays, taking on the Spurs, which is ridiculously good.
But
from a roster construction standpoint, like, it's really appealing to not only get a low owned Jason Tatum, but then also be getting him at the weakest position when you know you can find cheap high upside centers and guards.
Right. Dude, opponents are shooting almost 40% from three against the Spurs this year.
That's
amazing.
You said they're shooting almost 30%?
Almost 40%.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's incredibly bad.
But 40%, almost, dude, 40% is insane. On the season through 68 games?
Yeah, I mean, three-point defense is mostly luck, so the Spurs are just the unluckiest team in the league, I guess.
Who said that?
Well, three-point shooting in general is a lot of luck, but also you have to factor in, like, if you're just getting wide-open threes, you are going to shoot better.
Of course.
But there's just a lot of volatility in it. There's a lot of noise in it. So, like,
no question.
A lot of times you'll talk, like, when you're talking about, like, a competent defense and there's just, like, a big gap in 3-point shooting, a lot of times it's just luck. But in this case, it probably is not.
Right. But I guess, yes. What I'm saying, though, is, like, if you still look at the best teams at preventing a high 3-point percentage, most of them are still the best defenses in the league. And most of the ones at the bottom are the worst, but I agree with you. Yeah, certainly more volatile than 3 feet from the basket layup opportunity. But they've been terrible. Put it that way. We'll get there. Yeah. Let's talk about Minnesota first, though. Yeah, Anthony Edwards had a 28.5-point prop today. That seemed a little bit high for me in this spot, but we can talk about it. He's going at what? 9% ownership, 9,400 right now. Rudy Gobert, 16%. He's questionable. I would assume he plays. He's been questionable. He's been playing through it. Naz Reid, questionable as well. Do you like Rudy Gobert at this price point at what's probably going to be another deep center position?
Yeah, I like the $7,400 price tag. You know, obviously don't love the matchup, but Gobert has just been a much better point-per-minute guy playing with Mike Conley than he was with D'Angelo Russell. Last game, you only got about 30 minutes from Gobert, so that is concerning. That's been where he's lived mostly. 2 games ago, he randomly played like 37 minutes. Of course, that was the only slate in the last like 2 weeks that he's been popular. He just randomly gets 6 or 7 extra minutes. But knowing that that can happen is nice. And even if he does get 30, 31 minutes, there is a nice ceiling for him. 16% ownership is probably a little aggressive considering that his playing time definitely does skew towards just being around 30 minutes. But I do like the upside there. I like the way that he's produced since Mike Conley came to this team.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Do we want to look at anybody else for Minnesota today?
Edwards is always fine if you get there. You know, nothing really stands out. Not a great matchup, but certainly somebody that's going to get plenty of opportunities at their respective salaries, I think, or at the salaries and ownership. I think I'd rather get to Jaylen Brown on the other side of this game, but Edwards certainly gives you a nice ceiling as well. Kyle Anderson's been playing out of his mind, but he is up to 7K now in a tough matchup. So that's going to be pretty difficult to get to, I think. I think Gobert is probably the first piece, followed by Edwards, followed by Anderson.
Let's talk about the Lakers in Houston. This should get fun. Hit that thumbs up, too. Hey, 23 away from 100. We got over 400 people watching with us this wonderful morning. So take a single second. Show some love around here and atone for your sins. You've seen chat mention it already. They're ahead of me. Always are. Atone for your sins. Bow down before the YouTube overlords. Help us out here. We could use it. So yesterday, it was just a straight rout. The Lakers over the New Orleans Pelicans. That game looks closer in the box or in the final score than it was. It was like a 30-some point game at halftime. But Malik Beasley at one point in the first half, Adam, was 7-for-8 from three. I could not miss. It's funny, though, because when you look at the usage in this game, it goes back to kind of what we were talking about yesterday. Russell still got up 15 shots. He was still pacing 35 minutes. He came out with like a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in that game. 30% ownership right now against Houston. I don't know if that's enough at 7,700 today. Do you think it's too much?
So it kind of depends how you want to view this, I think. I think it's too much in the sense that he's not 30% to be like in the optimal lineup. But I think it's fine in that you're not actually building the optimal lineup, and you can find other spots to differentiate. So it's sort of like the Darius Garland play yesterday, I think, to some extent. I ended up not getting as much Darius Garland as the field, and I wasn't sure that I liked it because obviously I wanted to play a lot of Garland. But on the other hand, there's always so many good guard plays that when you get these really popular guards around 8K, you know there's just going to be a lot of other places that you can save ownership and get a similar range of outcomes. So it kind of just depends, you know, how you're building your lineup. D'Angelo Russell, to me, clearly looks like one of the best plays on the slate, given the great matchup against Houston. No Anthony Davis. He's playing normal, you know, big minutes. He's a good fantasy producer. All of that looks really good, and certainly want to play him. If you wanted to make a case for not getting him, it would just be that there's going to be plenty of other plays in this range that also look good.
Now, I get that. I do. I mean, I guess, I don't know, maybe I jumped the gun there a little bit. It's just, you look at how good the matchup is. I know it's a second of a back-to-back, but I mean, whatever.
I could kind of see this going either way for me when I build lineups, where like either I just end up playing like 60% D'Angelo Russell or I end up playing like 15. Yeah. And the reason is because it really just comes down to what you're doing with the rest of your lineups. If you are eating chalk at other positions, there's just always going to be guards that you can pivot this ownership to and save ownership. But if you find relatively low-owned guys you like at other positions, then playing D'Angelo Russell makes a ton of sense.
Right. So just looking through the rest of this team, you have Rui, who clearly benefits, right? Like, very obviously benefits from Anthony Davis's absence here. Malik Beasley at 18%. Vanderbilt, the thing with guys like Vanderbilt, though, like a Troy Brown, how much of that usage is really going to be deferred to them is the question. So just looking at the rest of this team, my guess is D'Angelo Russell sees immense opportunity today. And then I wonder, though, like, could it be possible that we just see this team go real small and Dennis Schroeder ends up playing 30 some minutes? He's at 0.1 ownership today, and he's already been a high usage guy since LeBron left.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what the starting lineup ends up being here. I don't really have a feel for it. Previously, when Davis was out, we got Mo Bamba starting, but Bamba's out. So I don't know if they're going to move Wenyen Gabriel into the starting lineup. I don't know if they're going to slide Jared Vanderbilt down and then move either Rui or Schroeder into the starting lineup. I don't know what they're going to do here. I think they could go a variety of ways. But to your point, this is still a team that doesn't have a lot of guys that can soak up usage. D'Angelo Russell, you know, is going to get a usage bump without Davis. Malik Beasley should get more shots up. Dennis Schroeder, whenever he's on the floor, is going to need to take on more usage. Rui can take some, but like Vanderbilt's not a high usage guy. Austin Reeves is just never going to, you know, never a high usage guy. Neither is Troy Brown. So there's only so many guys that really can soak up usage here. If Schroeder starts, that would certainly be a good sign for his playing time. I think that there's a good chance that one way or the other, he ends up in the closing lineup. So I don't love him at 6,300. I would rather be getting to like any of these Boston guards, you know, Marcus Smart's $900 less, Derek White's $800 or $700 less. So I like getting to those guys first, but if Schroeder's starting, he's certainly going to look decent. Vanderbilt at 5,900, that price kind of scares me. Like, he got a price bump, and he probably plays more minutes here without Davis, and he did play 28 yesterday. But, you know, again, you're just not expecting really increased usage because that's not Jared Vanderbilt's game. So I think he looks okay. Rui at 4,500 is interesting, especially if he starts. The starting lineup's going to say a lot here. I think one way or the other, D'Angelo Russell looks great. Malik Beasley looks pretty good at 5,200. But how much I'm interested in, like, Rui or Schroeder is going to depend on if they're starting.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point.
And Gabriel. I mean, if Gabriel starts, he's a $3,700 power forward.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot more could open up on this team depending on what things look like. But, I mean, yeah, going up against Houston, I don't know. There could be some good opportunities here for sure, potentially with lower ownership as well. I guess we'll see. And then, yeah, like on the other side.
Fortunately, it's an 8 o'clock game and the first game doesn't start till 7:30. So hopefully we get news on who's starting for the Lakers.
Yeah. And then on the other side, Şengün is questionable. So if he doesn't play, we saw the lineup last game, Tari Eason, Jalen Green, Kenyon Martin, Jabari Smith, and Kevin Porter Jr. That was your starting lineup in that game. Tari Eason played 35 minutes in that surprising upset over the Boston Celtics. Jalen Green played 41. Understandably, this isn't something that you should expect to happen every game for all of these guys. But yeah, if Şengün is out, Tari Eason at 5,300. By the way, I know that on a per minute basis, he was terrible last game. I mean, ultimately, he was just bad overall.
Yeah, slightly different matchup against the Lakers.
Yeah, exactly. Without AD too. I mean, you're throwing in, you know, a depleted front court. I still think 5,300 if Şengün sits would be pretty interesting if he's going to come out and play like legit starter minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this team with or without Şengün. It's just a matter of who you like. Right. Şengün at 7K flat, perfectly fine play if he's in, only pulling 3% ownership. I know it's been talked about a lot that, you know, like, because Şengün's playing time has been inconsistent recently, and people just like immediately come to the conclusion that it's because Houston's tanking and so they're not playing anymore. But it's been a combination of foul trouble, blowouts. All you have to do is look back at this most recent Houston game. Obviously, Şengün wasn't in, but they played Tari Eason 35 minutes. They played Green 40 and a half. They played Kenyon Martin 40. They played Jabari Smith 36, and they played Kevin Porter Jr. 38 to pull out a 2-point win over the Celtics. This team's not tanking to the as far as like just taking minutes away from guys. So if Şengün is in, if he avoids foul trouble, he's likely giving you 32 to 34 minutes at 7K. That's going to look, you know, appealing. Kevin Porter Jr. at 7,200 playing big minutes. Jalen Green at 7,100. They both look good. KJ Martin's only 5,200. Even coming off the bench, Tari Eason at 5,300 becomes a lot riskier, but he still has a path to upper 20s minutes because if any of Jabari Smith, KJ Martin, Alperen Şengün get in foul trouble, Eason's getting more minutes now that they're playing him alongside Smith more. So I would actually like him in tournaments at 5% owned if he's coming off the bench. If he starts, that ownership certainly comes up, but so does his projection. So he'll still look good. Jabari Smith at 6,800 has been playing really well and playing really big minutes. If Şengün is out, that should benefit Smith too because he'll get more minutes at the five. But I really like this Houston team, both the guys that are getting ownership and some of the guys that aren't.
Yeah, no doubt. I love both starting point guards in this game. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. in this spot, 7,200 is a nice price point on him, even though he's come up a little bit. The guy's a strong enough per minute guy. Like you just said, 38 minutes too against Boston in regulation. This game has a lot of intrigue on both sides, and it could change. It could change depending on the Lakers starting lineup, depending on Şengün's status. There's a lot that could change here. So stick around for deeper dive in Live Before Lock. That's going to be a big one. Anything else you want to hit on here with Lakers or Houston?
Nope. Just love this game.
Yeah, it's a great, great game. Dallas and the San Antonio Spurs. So Luka's out. Christian Wood is questionable. Tim Hardaway Jr. is questionable. Kyrie Irving is questionable. So right now, who the hell knows what's going to happen? Like they scored 20, they scored 88 points last game, Adam. Remember we were talking about how dreadful this defense or offense is? If you take Luka and Kyrie, like there's nobody. 88 points. Hardaway was 2 for 10. I think he left and came back. I think he got banged up and came back.
He was awful, though.
What's that?
He did. He was also awful for all of it.
Terrible. Yeah, shot 2 for 10, finished with 5 points. If Irving's in, you just have to assume that usage is going to be through the roof. If Irving's out, and who the hell knows what's going to happen with Hardaway, this could be the lowest scoring team of the season if you're relying on Jaden Hardy and Reggie Bullock and Josh Green to get you there. It's going to be wild.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be wild to find out who wins out or who loses out when you have an offense running through Reggie Bullock and Josh Green going up against the Spurs defense.
That's a good point. I think I might still lean Spurs defense.
Yeah. There's going to be plays to like here. I mean, if Kyrie is in, it really limits what else you want to get to from this team. But 10-2 for Kyrie playing the Spurs with no Luka, assuming he's not limited, is going to look really, really good. If Hardaway's in at 6,600, he looks fine given the matchup, but there are going to be plenty of plays that you can get to that look similar to him. Other than that, nothing would look that good. You know, Josh Green's up to 5,700. You're not going to be that excited to get to him if Kyrie is in. Christian Wood just hasn't been getting the minutes. He's also questionable, but 6K center, that's going to be a tough one to get to. Maxi Kleba, 3,600, power forward eligible. Sure, you know, like you should get mid-20s minutes from him in a good matchup, but it's not like he's a great point per minute guy. It's if Kyrie is out that this really becomes messy, because you expect more production from Tim Hardaway in that case. Jaden Hardy would still look good at 5,500. He's been playing huge minutes. He's one of the only guys capable of playing offense on this team if Kyrie is out.
And I think he would look great, actually.
I think so too. Like, he's not the same. Like, when he was 4K, it was just very, very easy to jam him in everywhere. 5,500, he's still going to look good just based on how many minutes we've seen him getting recently. And the fact that, again, like, there's not many guys that they can replace him with in terms of the rotation, because he's one of the only guys that can score on this team if Irving and Hardaway are out, or even if just Irving's out. So Hardy would look really good if Irving's out. Green would look better if Irving is out. It's a really good spot. There's going to be guys to like here, but a lot is going to depend on Kyrie's status.
Hardy has a 31% usage rate over the last two games with Doncic and Irving out.
Yeah, because what's the alternative?
I know. And you could potentially be looking at no Tim Hardaway too. Listen, I talk a lot of shit on the Mavericks, if like Irving and Doncic are out. Obviously, it doesn't matter. You still have to fill 48 minutes per position. Like, you still have to, someone still has to get these minutes. Someone still has to shoot the ball. So, you know, if you're getting as many possessions as you are for Jaden Hardy, if Irving's out, 5,500, assuming that he comes in and plays another like 37, played 41 minutes last game, got up 20 plus shots in both of those, not going to do a ton in the way of peripherals, but yeah, you're going to have to pull a lot from this Dallas team, whether you want to or not, in such a good matchup against the Spurs.
Agreed. It's just going to be a matter of, you know, who is it? And that's going to depend on Kyrie.
What if Irving is in, though, just like from a – I asked you this question with Tatum and with some of the other high-priced guys. Right, would Irving become a priority for you as one of the high-priced options?
Yes. Great – assuming he's not limited, great matchup. He's going to have the entire offense run through him. He would look extremely good.
All right. Avi, super chat. Thanks, man. Earlier I missed that. Let me get to it. Hold on. Damn, chat moved fast. There it is. Are green, white, and brown good plays tonight?
We just need Tariq Black.
Are there any other ones?
Not that I can think of.
Are there any grays out there?
There, Aaron Gray played for Pitt. He didn't last long in the league, though.
Huh. White, green.
I think that was his name. He was like 7 foot center.
Blue, red. Okay. There's got to be another one we're missing out there. All right. Anyway, thank you for the $10, Avi. Thank you for the super chat. San Antonio Spurs. Second of a back-to-back. Who the hell knows? Keldon Johnson, Trey Jones, Branham, all question. Romeo Langford, questionable. Charles Bassey's probably done for the season, if I had to guess. We'll see.
He broke his leg, so I think that's...
Is that what it was?
It was a fractured patella.
I thought it was non-displaced fracture in the fibula.
It was his patella, so like he broke his knee.
I'm going to go ahead and say he's probably out for the season.
That seems like a good guess.
Yeah, that's what I said the first time.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know what to make of this team right now, though. Zach Collins, do you think Bassey being out really makes a difference for Zach Collins, or do we just end up seeing more Dominic Barlow as the backup here, and Collins gets the same minutes he's been getting?
I think you see Mamu as the backup.
You think so? Okay, so yesterday, Mamu just backed up Bates Diop the entire game. Barlow came in and got all the backup minutes for Collins after
Barlow's a guard, though.
What?
Barlow's a guard.
Oh, who? Wait, hold on. Who am I?
No, thinking? You're right. Like it was Barlow, but Barlow is.
Oh yeah, right. He came in for him, but wasn't. Yeah, not at the center position. So okay, so Mamu was playing all of those center minutes then.
Barlow is 6'9", so maybe that is the route they were going. But Mamu was in there for most of those minutes. You had a stretch where it was Graham, Diop, Vassell, McDermott, Barlow, which is just, I guess, like a smallish lineup. But either way, I think that Zach Collins is going to look pretty much the same where you're getting 28 to 30 minutes from him. I think you're going to see Mamu Kalishvili's minutes solidified here. Maybe Barlow's in the rotation.
Barlow's listed as a power forward.
Is he? I thought he was a guard. But yeah, he is 6'9".
Yeah.
Small forward, power forward.
Right. Okay. Look, like you said, it could have just been that Mamu was getting the center minutes but it was like a one for one sub with Collins the couple times that he came in. So I wasn't sure. But either way, Zach Collins coming off a monster game. I mean, looked excellent yesterday against Orlando. He's playing pretty well. When does Collins get to a price point where we pump the brakes?
I think he still looks pretty good here, except we don't have him projected in.
We don't? Am I missing something?
Not that I know of. Yeah, I mean, we have Gorgui Dieng projected for 25% ownership and no Zach Collins. So I don't know what we're doing with the Spurs right now.
That might just be an accounting error there, because it's not like he can't play back-to-backs.
Yeah, there's no note on him being hurt. But yeah, I mean, at 6,500, assuming he plays, I still like him here. I think he plays 28 to 30 minutes. Yeah, I mean, we're basically just projected. We have him projected out. We have Vassell projected out.
Yeah, let me hit them up just to make sure.
McDermott projected out, Sohan projected out. We have half this team projected out, and we don't have any news on them.
Right. All right. So, I mean, is there even much? Forget about ownership projections. It doesn't even matter right now, anyway, with all the questionables for the Spurs. Is there anything right now that you can glean from what we're dealing with this team? Like, if these guys play, then they look a whole lot less appealing, but. A lot of value could open up here for sure, especially against this Dallas team.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Dallas side. There's going to be plays that you like here, but we do need a Spurs injury report. Keldon Johnson was out yesterday. If he plays today, he's 6,700. He's going to look good. If Vassell plays at 6,600, he looks fine. He's shot incredibly poorly recently, but still getting the minutes. But who knows if he's going to play on a back-to-back. Sohan at 5,600, if he plays, looks good. Collins looks good if he plays. If he were out, then you're just getting even more minutes for, I guess, Mamu Kalishvili and Gorgui Dieng at 3K. Devontae Graham, if anybody is out and he stays in the starting lineup, looks good at 5,300. We don't know if Trey Jones is going to play. There's no real way to talk about individual players on this team, but there is a very good chance that no matter how this news breaks, you do end up with good plays from the Spurs. It's just a matter of who it is.
Right, exactly. Ready to wrap this one up?
Yep.
Let's do it. We got Golden State, LA Clippers. By the way, appreciate you guys getting us over 100 likes today. Figured we'd get there. Also, if you were to expand the description, you're looking to get in. Say you can't play Prize Picks, or you already are on Prize Picks, and You're like, damn, was looking for that free month. Well, we got a ton of everything else too. 50% off any weekly Stochastic premium subscription or monthly, by the way. That says weekly, but it's or monthly. That's anything for any sport. All the tools built by some of the best DFS players out there, like Steve Buzzard, always helping to maintain those. Just hit 200K the other day. Sean's on, of course, Alex Baker, awesome himself. And so many, like Eddie, you see him behind, you hear about Eddie Lai. You don't know Eddie. You just know that he wins a lot. Ownership, player projections, top stack tool, boom bust tool for basketball, baseball top stack tool, and top pitchers tool are some of the greatest tools you'll ever find. But for all, everything else, March Madness is coming up. You want 50% off everything, whether it's just a week or the month or just one sport. We got you covered down there in the link. We can throw that into in the chat as well. Also, if you're saying you're trying to use the lineup generator, but you don't want to pay for everything, $4.48 for the first week on that. Literally, if you're playing $2 a night, it's going to cover itself. Even if you don't like it, you paid less than $4.50. You spend that in your sleep. You can swap players in and out. You can upload everything to CSV. You can discard the lineups you don't like, keep the ones you like. It's optimized for mobile. Lock players, swap players, get tournament lineups or cash game lineups. Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it's less than $4.50 for the first week. So I think you guys will enjoy it, especially those of you who might not have a ton of time throughout the day to research and constantly be digging in the numbers and tweaking projections and everything. This does it for you. It's already tossing out all the bad lineups and only giving you the lineups that it's projecting to be at the top of the leaderboard every single day. So check it out. That's $4.48 a week, or you could just do 50% off everything for a week or for a month. Links down there in the description. Super easy to find. You can't miss them. And in chat as well. All right, let's wrap it up. Golden State and the Clippers. I ask you this, I feel like, every single time. Have we heard what's going on with Wiggins yet, or is this still like just completely under wraps?
No, I haven't heard anything. Whatever it is can't be good, but haven't heard.
Right. But like, I just try and rack my brain. What could keep him out this long? And then they're saying maybe he'll be back by the end of the season.
Yeah, that's the part that sounded like really dire, is like, we hope he's back by the end of the year. Like, yeah.
I'll keep asking questions. Anyway, Golden State Warriors on the road against the LA Clippers. Warriors are 2.5-point dogs, 235 total, no Wiggins. Kuminga has been upgraded to probable for this one as well. So pretty standard procedure. Standard operating procedure for the Warriors today. Not a whole lot changing outside of Kuminga coming back into the rotation.
Yeah, and Kuminga coming back does, you know, mess up that center rotation with Kevon Looney. You got 27 minutes from Looney last game. Not likely to play that many minutes here. Not somebody that you're frequently targeting all that much in tournaments anyway, but Kuminga returning certainly makes him look a bit worse. This does look like a decent tournament team. No guys that really stand out. Draymond's the only guy on DraftKings pulling double-digit ownership, and that's just because he's a very reasonable 6,100. He's just going to work as a last piece in a lot of lineups, and that's perfectly fine. But you're getting a 5% owned Steph. I understand why the ownership's as low as it is. If Kyrie is in, you're going to prefer going to Kyrie against the Spurs at a cheaper price tag, but you still get a very high ceiling from Curry. Klay Thompson, shooting guard, small forward, 7,500, only pulling 4% ownership. That one's really interesting to me, because you get the best positional eligibility, you get a guy that's capable of just getting hot from three and putting up a massive game, and his price tag is down about $1,000 from where it was, you know, a week or a week and a half ago. So kind of surprised he's not getting a little bit more ownership. If I went to, I think I would go to Clay before I get to Curry here, just because he's a little bit easier to get to position wise and salary wise but they are similar plays in that they don't stand out as, you know, top options, but they both have very, very high ceilings at very little ownership.
All right. Well, made good time today, man. Not bad for a 7-game slate.
No, not bad at all.
Not bad at all. I like, plus our intro to the show was like 10 minutes, so I'm even more impressed by it. LA Clippers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. Those are the only two guys pulling any ownership today. Not a massive surprise. Looking at the boom bust tool, by the way, that's included in the free month if you're going through Prize Picks or if you're getting 50% off. Boom bust tool, critical tool for your everyday process, is included in all of that. They all look like they're pretty much owned where they should be. 20% ownership to Kawhi, 18% optimal, 15% ownership to George, 14% optimal. I don't see anything that's jumping off the page at me. Do you see something I'm missing here?
So I like Kawhi and George. I think they're clearly the two top options here and the only two guys that I would really feel good about. Don't sleep on Zubats at 5,300. He's played 27 minutes in each of his last two games. He seems to just be ahead of Mason Plumlee in the rotation. We didn't know how that was going to play out, whether it was going to just turn into, you know, like a straight 24-24 split. Was it going to be even less than that? And they closed with small lineups with Marcus Morris at the five. The last couple of games, we've seen Zubats in that closing lineup. We've seen him get 27 minutes while Plumlee gets 20 last game, 16 the game before that. There's no guarantee that rotation happens again, but at 5,300 and 1% owned, if you do get 26 to 28 minutes from Zubats, like if you were guaranteed 27 minutes, he would be more than 1% owned.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point on Zubats. Plus, solid per minute guy. And
yeah, it's pretty much just a playing time question.
Yeah, exactly. Positive leverage. Man, what's happened to Jovau? Those minutes are just gone.
Yeah, I mean, now they have I didn't see what he even ended up playing yesterday, but
15.
Jackson Hayes sort of, I think, emerged as somebody they are going to keep in that rotation, probably. He played, you know, like 8 minutes last game. Nance played 22.
Yeah, 15. I mean, it's going downhill quick. I mentioned the bet on the Odd Shop where every book had the Zubats at 8.5 or 9.5 rebounds and Valanciunas. And you look at that and you're like, how can you bet anything on Valanciunas right now? There's just, you have no idea what you're getting from him. But that's typical with a lot of these centers out there. Zubat's not to the same extreme extent, but it's playing time for sure. Anyway, follow Adam at ShipMyMoneyDFS. Follow me at Lafay_D. Shout out to Jacob for producing this one. You back on the deeper dive tonight, right?
Yeah, with, I think, Josh.
Okay. 5:30 then, I assume. You said 7:30 is first game?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So don't go anywhere. Live before lock, deeper dive, all that good stuff coming up. Links to everything in the description. Appreciate you guys hanging out. We'll catch you back here tomorrow on the NBA Strategy Show. Peace.